Kids can head on out. If you're suddenly blinded because the sun just arrived, now would be a great time to move a little bit closer if you can. We're going to have some conversation tonight, so if you can move a little closer, go ahead. Also, no, we've got babies and stuff out there, so it's all right. I understand if you want to be near the exits. Not ironically, we're going to talk tonight about confession, and I should start off by telling you something confessional, which is that I grew up, and this is where I pretend like it wasn't me, but I kind of participated in this, but it's part of my history, which is I grew up in a setting church-wise where one of our main priorities, I mean, we love God and the Bible and all that kind of stuff, but one of our main priorities was making sure no one thought we were Catholic. And I know some of you grew up Catholic, and so let me finish this whole story out. Don't get up and walk out right now. But we just had a real big thing in my church about making sure that people knew we weren't Catholic for some reason. And I still have not quite figured out why that was such a big deal to us. I didn't really even know that many Catholics in my neighborhood. A lot more Jewish folks in my neighborhood than Catholics. But it was a big deal to us. And we spent a lot of time in Sunday school classes. We spent a lot of time kind of talking about how not Catholic we were. And so we talked about kind of why that was important, right, for us. Just the idea that there was a Pope was very offensive to us growing up, right? Although I'll be honest, I'm a huge fan of the Pope right now, so that they'd be very disappointed in me today. Talk about priests, how there's this idea that there's like priests and they did certain things that other people didn't do, and how they kind of, you know, thought they were better than everyone else, and so we were much better because we didn't have those priests, right? And then we heard that they served actual alcohol during communion. Which is just that's just a ticket to hell as far as we were concerned growing up. In church, alcohol in church, that should never exist. And it was just, you know, one thing after another, we constantly kind of put it out there. And one of the things we talked about a lot was how much better we were because we didn't do this confession thing. Because, you know, we say, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Catholics will go and they'll sit in this box. And then there's a priest on the other side and they'll tell the priest everything they've done wrong. And then the priest forgives them. And they think the priest forgives them instead of God. I mean, they worship the priest, right? And not only that, there's saints too. I don't know if you know this or not, but they're basically polytheists is what we, that, you know, you'd heard this guy. They believe in many gods, not just one. And this is the kind of thing they talked about a lot in my church growing up. To the point that, well, you know, the first time I actually hung out with some Catholic folks and went to a Catholic mass, I just kept waiting for something really evil to happen. You know, I was the whole time I was on the edge of my seat waiting to kind of run out when the bad stuff started, only to realize like, oh, no, they pretty much believe almost all the same things I do. They just kind of do things a little different way. And in fact, I have now come to realize that so many of the things, and it's not just unique necessarily to the Catholic tradition, although that tended to be the one that we picked on for some reason. So much of what we were so proud to not be, I now go, oh my gosh, how much better off would I have been if we actually had that growing up, right? Like, I now kind of grieve the fact that I didn't grow up with that, and that it's not second nature to me, and it's more difficult for me. And confession is really one of those things. We never talked about it. It just wasn't part of our reality in regards to faith, right? With the exception of course, you had to confess something to God so that you would be made right to God and then go to heaven when you died, which is what it was all about. But it was just about kind of this me telling God what God already knows so that God can officially forgive me for it. And that was kind of the extent of confession. Tonight's verse in James 5 talks about a lot of different things, and we could spend a lot of time on a lot of different topics, but confession is something that's just come up a lot in my life lately, come up in a lot of conversations where I'm kind of playing the pastoral role for people, and it just was that thing that I honestly already had most of a sermon written for the Mark text, and I just couldn't get away from this. And so I want to talk some about it tonight. Let's go ahead and read this passage again. Again, there's a lot you can talk about here. We talk a lot about not losing the forest for the trees. We're going to look at a tree today. We're just forget the forest. We're going to look at a certain kind of portion of this. But it says this: Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Right? So this idea, like whoever you are, whatever's going on in your life, whatever situation you're in, everyone come on. right? And we'll deal with it, whatever it is. If you're sick, we'll pray for you. If you need this, we'll do this. If you're in this place, come now. If you're happy, sing a song. Like, you know, basically we do this together, right? Wherever you're coming from. And then it says this, and this is a verse that was never, ever, ever preached in my church growing up. Therefore, I feel like I just got more holy as I was saying it. I don't know if you, I got illuminated. Are you feel illuminated already? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. Just so I can kind of get a feel for the room, how many people grew up with any sense of like confession, mutual confession? I'm not talking about saying something to God about you. With mutual confession, talking, telling another person kind of even the ugly truths about yourself. How many of you actually grew up with that as kind of a steady part of your life? Maybe you grew up in the Catholic tradition or another tradition. Anyone grow up with that? Oh, really? No one in the room. Okay. That's unusual. We usually have a couple of folks. Okay. How many people, let's go ahead and be honest, how many people would say that it's a significant part of your spiritual life today? I'm not actually raising my hand because it's honestly very much, I'm kind of one of these right here. I'm kind of dinosaur on that one. I mean, you know. Okay. All right, good. So at least we're kind of on the same page here, and I'm not going to feel so bad about honing in on this because it was not a part of my growing up. It's not, I would argue, a significant enough part of my life today, and I would argue, and I will argue tonight, that this should be at the center of what we do as community, as uncomfortable as it is. So let's talk about this. At the end of the day, I actually believe, although most of us don't, that we all want and need on some level to confess, right? I've heard that said before in like cop shows, and it always sounded like that's garbage. You know, people say, well, you just keep them in there a long time and you keep them talking. Because deep down, everyone wants to confess what they did. And I said, that's stupid. Why would I want to confess that I broke, you know, robbed the bank? Like, of course I don't want to. But actually, the more I think about it, the more I can look at it, I really do think each of us on a deep level wants to confess. Did any of you take a look at that website that I kind of sent out over Facebook? It's called The Waiting Wall. Have you guys seen that? And it's this thing, it's kind of an art installment that's going on in England. And the first kind of explanation I saw of it was basically, it says some people who were of no faith tradition, some secular humanists said we wanted, there's certain things that we'd like to have for ourselves too. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's kind of like atheist churches now happening. I got a friend who's been going to one in Nashville. It's really interesting to me where they get together on Sunday and sing songs and do those kind of things, but they don't believe in anything. It's very interesting. I kind of want to go and just figure it out. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird phenomenon, but and so they decided they wanted to have this thing that's kind of like a wailing wall, kind of like a confessional booth put together. And so it's this art installment where basically it's going to be on display for a while in this spot in England, where anyone can confess whatever they want anonymously, and then it pops up on the board just randomly. Who went to the site? A few of you. All right. How many of you got stuck on that site for a while? All right. It was really addictive, right? I mean, it just rolls, whatever, 15 seconds or so, like long enough for you to read it, and the next one rolls up. And there's all kinds of things. So what I did this morning was I just did like a screen capture on a few of them that came up in a row. I didn't cherry pick these. These are just kind of what came up at different points. Some of them, there's little English terms that you kind of were a little bit different with. But let's go ahead and read some of the things that people are putting up there who really have no reason to do this. This is the first one that came up when I popped it up this morning. No one knows how incredibly sad I am. Next one. As a boy, after my dad left, my mother always said I was just like him. It affects my confidence even to this day. Next one. I don't believe in God, so what was before the Big Bang? I am scared of oblivion. I don't understand why I'm constantly so incredibly anxious and awkward. I hate it. It's so bad. I can't even speak to anyone about it. I was raped at 16 and never told anybody. I miss my mom. Next one. Yes, I am still totally in love with my first love, my husband. The mother of my beautiful 7-year-old boy is taking him to live hundreds of miles away, and I'm heartbroken. I lost my virginity to a course mate I'd known for 3 hours. I can't bring myself to tell anyone. I often wonder if anybody would notice if I weren't around. I would have been a different person if my mom hadn't died so young. I cheated on my wife and she found it. It was 5 years ago and she's never forgiven me, but I can't stop. I love the rush and excitement I get, and I can never get that from my wife. And the truth is, the truth is that I truly love my wife, and I will never leave her because she means the world to me. I don't really want to get married, yet I'm engaged. I fear my life will always be this boring. I wish you could understand autism. You don't seem to be aware of the damage and pain that you are causing. That's the last one I got. And that's just one right after the other, right? And I was looking at those and I was thinking, like, first of all, it's just riveting. I could just keep reading those. Like, we could just run that and probably all of us would sit here for a good 30 minutes and just watch one come after the other. And it evokes emotions with me. It, like, connects to me on some deep level. You know, as far as art's concerned, it's very effective, right? It evokes something from me. But you begin to wonder, like, why? Why would you feel compelled to sin, to put that kind of thing up for just anyone to see, right? Now, I know it's anonymous, but I think the truth is, on some deep level, each of us is dying to tell the truth about ourselves. Each of us really wants for people to know who we are. And I've had a lot of conversations lately about people in some very, very extreme kind of situations and difficult situations. And without violating any confidences, I've just talked to person after person lately, and the theme that keeps coming up is, basically, if you put it in the terms of today, I wish I'd been more confessional. I wish I'd been more honest, right? I've been talking to people whose marriages have fallen apart, and they wish they would have been more confessional and honest. I've talked to people whose friendships are broken. I've talked to someone recently, not too long ago, who got a diagnosis, and someone I'd actually never met until they somehow I got connected to them, and they got a diagnosis that they won't live much longer. And so they and their spouse were wanting to kind of talk about that and wanting to talk about some bad things that had happened within their marriage. And the person who's getting ready to pass away, they're going to have a big family get together, and they said, I want to get the whole family together. I want to tell them everything I've done wrong as a spouse and everything else. And the other spouse said, no, that is not what we're going to do. We're going to have a birthday party. We're not airing our dirty laundry. We'll figure that out between us. But he literally, I mean, this person is looking at the end of their life in weeks, you know, at most, and is saying the last thing that person wants to do is just let it all hang out, show everyone, even the ugliest parts, the worst decisions that they made, right? There's something inside of us, and I imagine if you were in that same situation, you would probably have that same compulsion, right? Something inside of us really wants everyone to know who we are, even those parts that of us that are maybe the most shameful. Even the parts of us that might be the most ugly. So I think, and you may disagree with me, and we can talk about that here in a minute, because I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want to talk. You may think I'm wrong. I think all of us really want to confess. We want to be confessional, but we don't. It's not a part. If all of us want it, why is it not a part of our lives, right? We've all kind of admitted that it's not a part of our lives. So I want to explore two different ideas here, and this is where I kind of want you guys feedback, and I'll probably repeat what you say just so people can hear it that are maybe listening to this recording later on. What is it, if you'll go with me on the idea that confession is something we actually do kind of want on the deepest level, what is it about that we actually want? What's attractive about being confessional to you?
I think it's the truth.
The truth?
Yeah, truth will set you free.
Okay. That idea that you kind of get something off your chest, there's a weight maybe that you're holding and you don't have to hold anymore, you just finally get to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanting to be known for who we really are. Okay. Okay. So we crave authenticity. When we confess we're authentic, it brings out other people's authenticity.
Right.
Yeah. So it's burden sharing. you're not the only one dealing with whatever the thing is.
Maybe for forgiveness and for absolution.
Okay. Forgiveness and absolution. I think that certainly is a part of it. Yeah. Anything else? All right, so these are all, I don't know about you, this sounds like a great list of reasons for us to be really confessional with each other, for us to be totally open and honest and just put it out there with each other. So why don't we? What's the hang-ups with confession? What's the scariest part of confession to you?
Shame.
Shame? Unpack that a little bit. What?
We've spent an entire year in our small group talking about this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Shame.
Okay.
This sort of person, I mean, we all have this natural reaction.
Right. So right. So you. So the fear of being judged, fear of being thought of as less than, as not attractive. I mean, we don't necessarily mean in a romantic way, but attractive to other people. You're not the kind of person I want to be around. Or, I mean, all of us have that deep fear that if we actually say whatever that thing might be at the time or whatever big issue, that people are just literally going to go, okay, great, and then we'll never see him again, right? You know, nowadays it'll show up on Facebook or something. Or, you will never believe what Rebecca just told me. Yeah, that's right.
So I think you said it like over and over, fear.
Fear.
For so many reasons.
Right. Fear.
I think part of it could be pride too. It's, for me at least, it would be like giving someone else a reason to believe that they're better than I am. They're like, oh, at least that's not going off my
mind. Right. So there's that pride thing too, because there's a certain value I get from knowing that in other people's eyes and as far as they know, I'm kind of ranking kind of high in this whole thing, or I'm doing pretty good, you know, at least I'm not, you know. Sure. Yeah.
Like denial?
Denial
until you actually like admit it to somebody else and it's like, it's real.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like, it's spoken, it's done, it's like out there in the open, but you can deny it and you keep it in.
That's very insightful. I think, yeah, denial is absolutely, in fact, I can think of specific situations of people I've talked to that it really was kind of that thing where, like, they got to pretend whatever was going on wasn't really going on in their own heart and lives because they never said it out loud. And that denial gives you a sense of kind of maybe disconnect from it actually being real. Huh. Yeah, Alex.
I think, like, maybe uncertainty. Like, you can't control it once you confess. It's like there's no taking it back. So whatever their reaction is their reaction, and you lose a sense of control over that relationship.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't get to manage your own image with someone. You lose all your PR for yourself. You use all that, right? Because you just put it out there, and now they get to make whatever decisions they want about it. Yeah.
I think it requires action. If you confess it, you have to act to do something.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I got to follow up on something. If I confess, right? I mean, if I'm just going to confess the same thing every 2 days to someone, eventually they're going to tell me to do something about it, right? Okay, yeah. Really interesting. I'm beginning to think that this kind of this is a whole another four or five sermons, but I think you're right on. I think fear probably plays into all these. This fear is kind of at the root of all these different, these all things grow out of fear, right? And it eats away, and you can almost always look to fear, I think. When you have those moments where you say, man, I really want this my soul, I know in the fabric of what I'm made, this is what I really want out of life, this is what I want out of relationships, this is what I want out of whatever, but I'm not including it in my life at all. Like there's almost always, because it doesn't make any sense, right? It's kind of, obviously, where you think, well, if you want that, then just do that, right? I mean, if you really want to be known, just go be honest with people, right? It seems like, you know, if you're really pragmatic, you would just say, well, just do it. But there's fear. The fear kind of keeps us from doing those things. But I really believe that this is at the very center of what it is that we're really supposed to be doing here. I mean, maybe above anything else. Right? I mean, at its most core level, I think you guys hit on all this. At its most core level, if I'm honest, what I want from you guys is I want you guys to really know who I am, and I want you guys to still like me. right? I don't want you guys just to like me. I don't want you guys just to know who I am. Yeah. I mean, I want both of those things, right? I mean, that was for me the absolute scariest thing about looking, like saying, okay, I'm gonna marry this person, right? That was that big hurdle for me, was like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to hide from this person. Like, you know, we're gonna be in the same house from forever now, right? She's gonna wake up next to me. We're gonna share a bathroom. We're gonna, you know, it's gonna, there's no hide. I'm not gonna just wear the clothes that make me look the coolest. Like this, you know, it's gonna be out there. Like the real me is gonna come out. Like, can I risk that? Can I risk someone actually knowing who I am and sticking around, right? I mean, that was the big thing for me. Those two things together are what we most want. And I think, at least for me, I'll just say for me, that is what I most want from my relationships. That's what I most want from God. It's what I most want from you guys. It's what I most want. And so conversely, it is my deepest fear. I mean, that is the thing that will give me ulcers. If I thought that you guys didn't know who I was, like, it would just eat me up, right? If I found out, like, if I really get to the world, I've just been presenting this thing that's not true about myself, and I've kind of fooled everyone, it would ruin me, right? And if you guys really know who I am, and you go, yeah, I can leave that, no thanks. Like, I mean, that hurts, right? And that certainly happened to me. It's happened to you. That's happened to me plenty. I was a lot more the broken up with than the breaking up with guy. That was more the kind of the opposite way. I was a lot more the it's you, Mike, not me. You know, I was kind of was hoping to be reversed. I mean, that gets at the very deepest fear that I have. And it gets at what we most want, I believe, from God. I mean, the most difficult to believe but most important thing to me is the idea that God actually knows me. God knows how many hairs are on my head. God knows every dirty detail of my life. God knows everything about me and yet loves me unconditionally, right? I mean, we say it out loud here every week because it's just hard to actually believe. Like, it's hard to hold on to that idea. I also posted something about the fact that really what I should have done is just gotten up here and read through Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a book called Life Together. And in Life Together, he talks about confession a lot, because what he's basically writing to is, for those of you who don't know much about Bonhoeffer, the two-cent version of his life was, he was in Germany. He was a German during the rise of kind of Hitler. And for any of you who don't know the history of that, the Christian church did not exactly become a shining beacon on the hill during that time. I mean, the Christians were largely capitulated to the Nazis. You could go into most sanctuaries there and there'd be a Nazi flag hanging right next to the cross. And those two things got very melded together, and it kind of gave God's stamp of approval on what was going on to a lot of people. It was, you know, and it's one of the real blights on Christian history, recent Christian history. But there was, awesome, that's all right. But there was this group of folks that were called they called themselves the Confessing Church. And they were a group of Christians, ministers in training, who said what a Christian should have said in that situation, and did not capitulate and did not agree with what was going on and remained firm in who they were. And eventually a lot of those folks ended up in prison camps and that kind of thing, along with Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and everyone else who was, you know, arrested during those times. And so what they ended up having, these kind of underground secret seminaries where people would live together and study together and train together, and they spent all their time together. And so they had to really think carefully. It got real messy, I'm sure, pretty quick, right? Like, how do you navigate all this together? So in Life Together, he's basically writing about, here's how we do community. And he talks a lot about confession. And the reason why I think partly why it's so important for us to begin to become more confessional with each other is because part of the point he makes is that if we are not confessional with each other, if we cannot make that connection together, we're never really going to make that connection with God. Right? Here's a great quote, I think. He says, "Why is it that often it is easier for us to confess our sins to God than to a brother? God is holy and sinless. He is a just judge of evil and enemy of all disobedience. But a brother is as sinful as we are. He knows from his own experience the dark night of secret sin. Why should we not find it easier to go to a brother than to the holy God? But if we do, we must ask ourselves whether we have not often been deceiving ourselves with our confessions of sin to God, whether or not we have really been confessing our sins to ourselves and also granting ourselves absolution. Who can give us the certainty that in confession and the forgiveness of our sins, we are not dealing with ourselves but with the living God? God gives us this certainty through our brother. Our brother breaks the circle of self-deception. A man who confesses his sin in the presence of a brother knows that he is no longer alone with himself. He experiences the presence of God and the reality of the other person. Right? How do we get into the presence of God? It's through each other. Right? If we don't know each other, how can we really love each other? If we don't forgive each other, how can we really believe in forgiveness for God? If we can't love each other, are we really going to believe in God's love? Right? Otherwise, we risk this kind of, we have this risk of not being an actual authentic community, right? Of giving each other maybe an hour of presence a week or just putting out the best parts of who we are. And we end up kind of playing this game. And the truth is, we're all broken. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Whatever verse you want to quote, however you want to put it, we are all desperately in need. Why are we so scared of being honest with each other? When I was in college, my freshman year in college is when I kind of had my spiritual awakening, right? I kind of made this transformation from being literally probably the least cool kid in high school, not being a part of anything, not having anything going for me, not understanding my place in the world at all. Just, you know, high school, you couldn't pay me $1 million to make me do high school again, like horrible, right? And in college, I had a pastor or a youth minister friend of mine who asked me to start working with him, and I began to start working with him, began to start realizing that I was good at certain things and I had value in certain places, and really, it's just when I got my feet underneath me, right? And by my junior year in college, I was talking in front of people, and I was a part of the campus ministries, and I was leading teams on mission trips, and I was doing all kinds of things. Like, I was one of the spiritual guys on campus. I really was. Like, I was one of the ones that people thought, man, like, you know, even if the girls didn't want to date me, their mothers did want me to date them, right? I mean, I was, apart from the long hair, I was high on people's list. I was a spiritual guy on campus, and people respected me for it. People liked how spiritual I was, and I liked how much people liked me for it, right? First time I'd ever been good at anything. Yeah, I was varsity Christian. Unfortunately, we didn't have letter jackets in college, but I would have been there. And I had a friend, who not a girlfriend, but a girl who was a friend. And right kind of when I was the most visible on campus, up in front of people the most, doing the most God speak in front of everyone, all that kind of stuff, is when we were kind of the closest friends. And I had a situation with her, I had a time with her where, like, I just had to come clean with her about parts of my life that I'd kind of hidden from everybody, right? Because I learned early on that Christians tend to shoot their wounded, not help them, right? And so I learned how to not show anyone what was most wounded about me and what was most broken about me, what I was still trying to figure out. And I had this situation where it kind of turned on me, and the person, one of the people that was closest to me and meant the most to me, was affected by it, and I had to look this person in the face and come clean about some parts of myself that I've never told anyone about. And it was rough. I mean, rough. I mean, that kind of, now if you've been here any amount of time, you know it doesn't take much to make me cry. But I mean, it was ugly, right? Just ugly. It was the heaving and the snot, and it was the me bearing myself in front of someone for the first time I'd ever done it. And being sure this meant the end of everything that I'd worked for the last 2 years. Like, now the secret's, cat's out of the bag now, right? I'm not the super Christian. I don't deserve the varsity designation. Like, I'm out. And she still a good friend of mine, looked me right in the eye, heard everything I had to say, and it wasn't pretty, and she forgave me. And she was my friend the next day, right? And it wasn't perfect for us. We had some struggles, But when all's said and done, she's got one of the deepest friendships I've ever had was with her. And she looked me in the eye, and she was God to me in that moment. And I heard about God's unconditional love and really started to take it in for the first time when I was about 18, but I didn't really believe it till that moment because I hadn't had a person demonstrate it to me because I'd never given anyone the chance. Confession is important. Not just as something that we kind of mark off the list or say that we've done. Confession is important because we need it. We need people who know who we actually are. We need people who have seen behind the curtain. We need people who have looked into the deepest, kind of darkest corners of ourselves and say, "You're forgiven. I love you. You're still part of who we are." We need that. I know you're sitting there right now wanting it, just like I am. So the question is, why aren't we doing it? Why can we not be more confessional? He had this other quote, and I posted this earlier today that I just think is poignant and disturbing. Bonhoeffer says, "It may be that Christians, notwithstanding corporate worship, common prayer, and all their fellowship and service, may still be left to their loneliness. The final breakthrough to fellowship does not occur because though they have fellowship with one another as believers and as devout people, they do not have fellowship as the undevout, as sinners. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner. So everybody must conceal his sin from himself and from the fellowship. We dare not be sinners." Many Christians are unthinkably horrified when a real sinner is suddenly discovered among the righteous. So we remain alone with our sin, living in lies and hypocrisy. The fact is that we are sinners, right? Y'all ever been in one of those groups where people are unthinkably shocked that there was a sinner in their midst? Anyone been that sinner? Okay. Anyone want to tell the story? I'm just kidding. Let's be a confessional people. Who cares if we're the biggest church in town? Who cares if we've got the most money? Who cares that we'll never have our own building? Who cares no one can say our name or spell it? Who cares any of this? As long as we actually love each other, and we can't love each other if we don't know each other. I think the highest compliment I've ever received about Ecclesia is when someone came up to me afterward and said, "Man, that was kind of like one of my AA meetings." And I thought, then we're doing something okay. I mean, we're getting there, right? If you've never been to a meeting, you really should find a friend who would be willing to let you kind of come with them on one of the nights when you can, because it is what they know and what they could teach the church, and we should learn from them, is that it is all about confession, right? I mean, that's how you introduce yourself in that meeting. "Hi, I am, and I am," and then here it is. Because they know there is no redemption, there is no progressing, there is no healing without first a correct diagnosis and admission, right? I want us to be, I want that from you guys. I want to be that for you guys. If you don't have that person, if you don't have that listening ear, my ears are here. I'll listen. But I also know there's other people in this room that want to be a part of it. It's why I'm excited about these triads. I love this idea, because I think it gets at this thing that all of us know we need. Some people that we can stop kind of playing games with, stop trying to impress, and just start living life together. So may we be a confessional people. May we be a place where someone can walk in, where their sin on their sleeves, their brokenness on their sleeves, whatever is most ugly about them on their sleeves, and still find the welcoming face of Christ. And tonight we're gonna end with a time at the communion table. And it's the proper place to end tonight. Because at the communion table is where we remind ourselves every week that the God of the universe broke his own body, shed his own blood, gave everything he had while we are still sinners. While there's nothing lovely about us, while there's nothing deserving about us, God saw us for who we are and loved us anyways. As Christ gathered his disciples for the final time, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he shared with them wine and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so tonight, you're invited to come to the table as a recipient of unconditional love. And as we take the elements, may we walk into this world embodying that same spirit. May we not pretend to be anything we aren't. And may we not force that on anyone else. If you'll stand with me, if you're serving the elements, you can go ahead and come on down. The table's open to whoever wants to take part. If you don't want to, that's fine. But know that the table's open to you. This final song is less. It's not so much congregational. It's actually a Johnny Cash song. I love this song. So it's more of a listen song than it is a sing along, because none of us can hit that low note anyway. So. But I'm going to serve those who are up here, and then during this final song, the communion table is open to you. Thanks so much for being here this week, and thank you for participating tonight. Again, don't forget about the things that we got coming up. Friday night, live at 5 out there. Saturday, the tailgate. Sunday, Mitchell Farms. If you want to be a part of one of those small group triads, talk to Rebecca, get your name to her, and she will get you on that list. And I think you'll be glad you did it. I'm excited about it. If you're with us for the first time, thanks for being here. Just know that if you don't have a community you're already connected to, It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've got everything all figured out or you don't have a single thing figured out. There's a place for you in this community. We're better off with you in the room. And you're loved and you're wanted here. So please come back. And as we leave this room this week, may we take to heart that we have a God who knows us intimately, who knows everything about us and loves us unconditionally. And may we be a people who not just accept that as some kind of ethereal truth, but may we live it out in the way we live confessionally and lovingly with each other. May we go and be a confessional people in this world. Peace be with you. Have a great week.